Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day as we face the issues. Today, as we face the issues, we'll be looking at a multiple of issues. In fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 or 6 issues that we'll talk about in general. We're going to drill down and focus on a couple of them, but we're talking about the issue title, if you want to call it that. Should we be worried or rejoice? Why would I say that? Because we've got some false prophets, some fake preachers that are saying that Jesus is going to rapture the church out and return on September the 23rd. Ladies and gentlemen, that just gives us a few more days here on this earth. But I want to tell you that I can say definitively, without any equivocation, that Jesus Christ will not return on September the 23rd, 2025. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the fact that President Donald J. Trump has just signed an executive order making election one day and making an election on paper ballot, requiring elections have any voters have ID to vote. Now, we know, you know, and I know all the courts of the nation are going to climb on that and try to block it and stop it. What about it? Will that work? Is there something that we need to know? How do you stand on it? These are issues that affects every one of us. It will affect every Christian, every conservative, every patriot under the sound of my voice and beyond. So we need to be concerned about what is taking place, who's making the decision, what is happening in this whole world even today. We'll also be talking about Jacksonville, Florida, our city. Should there be an Islamic jihadist slaughterhouse in Jacksonville? What does it connote if there are enough Islamics that they're demanding what is called halal food, that is Islamically approved food? How should we view that? We should view it very carefully and understand what the Quran says in relationship to it. In fact, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? 325 pages, 25 chapters. I believe it's about 325 pages. Let me just do this a little quick glance at it. I've forgotten. 322 pages, 25 chapters. And the question is, Islam tolerant? Islam is not tolerant. It's the most intolerant, wicked religious order on the face of the globe. And ladies and gentlemen, I state in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, that was published back a few years ago in 2011, that when any city, any state, any nation gets between 2 and 6% of its population in the Islamic realm, they'll rise up, demand halal food, rise up and demand special treatment, rise up and demand to be able to have the call to prayer 5 times a day on the mosque sound system. And we're witnessing that in several places in America today. We see that across the world today. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. What we're told about church school murderer, the mass murderer just a few days ago, what we're not told by the media is that, of course, they touched on it, He wanted to detransition. He was tired of being acting one part. He was not. He took that position because his mother enabled him to do so back in, when he was 17 years old in 2018, 2019. He said he hated God. He hated Jews. He hated Christians. He hated himself and the trans world and those that had put him in that position. But ladies and gentlemen, the news media is not telling us about the fact that his daddy was a major operative. You heard the word right, operative, with the CIA. What is the connection there? Is there a nexus? What should we be concerned about? What is it that we've not been told in relationship to that? So, ladies and gentlemen, with all of the things that we see swirling around us, the question is, should we be worried or should we rejoice? But, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples said this, "If you continue in my words, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalm 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's forever, unending, forever. But yet with all of that evidence about truth found in the Word of God, there's still those that doubt, cast disparaging words against truth. Goes back to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But I want us to realize, ladies and gentlemen, truth matters regardless of what stand you take politically. Truth matters regardless of the denominational dogma that you embrace. Truth matters regardless of whether you're saved or lost. Truth matters today. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, it surprises me, and it ought not to. According to the latest survey, some 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that age group says, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." That makes truth flexible. That makes truth a little bit nebulous. That makes truth very, very, very elusive. And therefore, you have no fundamental foundation to base anything on. That harms the nation. It harms any church, any school, any organization, any political group. But I'm looking at a major article. It says, "Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth." Let me just read you a paragraph. "American institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Further, it says a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education." And there's no more serious problem than the notion that is fashionable in academia today, and it has been for decades, that truth is relative, or that there's no such thing as individual cultural belief in truth, no such thing as absolute truth. Therein lies the problem. I believe if we could recognize that is the major, major, major problem, we'd see a little more clearly what's taking place today in our nation. For example, we have the Chicago mayor that says it, all crimes down, when actually the statistical data showing that all crimes major increase. We have those in, across the nation that are saying President Trump is the dictator. He's wanting to just simply take over and take control, when in reality he's wanting to bring law and order back to America so that we can see America carrying out the task that God's called us to as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the fact that a 15th century theologian, Jan Hus, made this statement. "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, that we seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it, even to death. That is the challenge each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. And atop that flagpole flies Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to discuss several of these important issues today, issues that I believe should cause grave concern for some of us, and others it should cause absolute fear if some of these prognosticators about the end times are true. There are a lot of lost people today that need to listen up quickly. And I'm saying that in irony because I find it sad when you find so many false prophets today that are trying to say that Jesus is coming back. They've set the date, September 23rd, 2025. And there's a few of these false prophets still around today that's still predicting false theology, false doctrine, and false date setting. Why should we be concerned? Should we be concerned if they set the date? The scripture is very, very clear. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 14, chapter 24, verse 20-36, "But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not an angels, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." And he goes on to talk about the signs. Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25 is a couplet of theological, doctrinal, eschatological texts talking about what to look out for the last days, in the last days, leading up to the rapture of the church. Luke 21 is the same text. Mark chapter 13, same eschatological prophetic text. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall just a few years ago, 2014 and 2015, a group of so-called preachers, theologians, prognosticators, false teachers said that Jesus was coming back then. We've had multitudes of so-called believers that will follow the latest fad, the latest divine, Dr. Divine, as I call it, the latest new revelation or some new doctrine. The Bible warns us of false teachers, false prophecies, and false Christ in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, almost annually, we see some guru that will come up with some new thing. Generally, these false prophets are supposedly find some astrological or geological events that will trigger their thoughts and their imagination, and they'll try to explain it biblically. They'll come up with, listen, may I say this at this intersection? We must understand the scripture chronologically. We must realize that God's not given us a group of juxtaposition in text that you can pick and choose time together and make it say whatever you want it to say. It's so sad today, ladies and gentlemen, that so many Christians, so many immature or ignorant, unlearned believers will believe these false prophets as they come along. I believe these immature believers, ladies and gentlemen, will follow these false teachers, the false prophets, especially when you find them on the internet. And they will buy their books, watch their videos, stand in awe, and somehow, some way, think that they are now witnessing truth, notwithstanding the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that it's simply not biblical. Throughout the years, multitudes of years, false prophets and false teachers have set dates of Jesus coming back. Let me just reiterate and state this. In 2012 through 2015, we had false prophets in about the four blood moons. These false prophets sold millions of dollars in books, raking in millions of dollars as a result of their movies and false propaganda. Some of these books were called the Harbinger, the Shemitah, the Four Blood Moons. In fact, Jonathan Kahn the Shemitah, claimed that in the final days of the Shemitah year would be a wipeout day in the Jewish beliefs. These all said they had linked together the truth, and they claimed that somehow, some way, this was going to take place. In fact, if you recall, supposedly, according to their prophecies, April 2014 and September 28th, 2015, somewhere between that date, they said Jesus was going to come back. Jonathan Cahn, in fact, predicted a financial meltdown, a society that would be in chaos, perhaps even Jesus returning September 2015. These new prophecies and false prophets then rose up again in 2017 and made some of the same statements about Jesus Christ coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the biblical truth and see what the Bible says and know what these false prophets and false teachers are saying in relationship to that. I find it alarming that we have some men today that will believe the false prophets and the false teachers. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comments, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'm glad to hear you again. I tell you the truth, that this is God incarnate. Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, he even told his disciples, it's not, the angels don't know, he don't know. It is according to what God knows. Can I say it like that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing in a way. I mean, okay. He don't know, and he is a God. He's God incarnate. He's God.
Well, Kenneth, here's the major problem, if I can interrupt just a moment and set the stage for our listeners. Here's the problem, that is looking at Scripture in context. For example, Mark chapter 13, verse 24, talks about the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. But when you look at that, when is that taking place? That will be in the midst of the days of the tribulation. You see, Kenneth, one of the major problems we have, if an individual does not have a correct chronology of the Bible, if people can take a verse of Scripture out of context, make it say what they want it to say, you can paint the moon yellow-striped if you want to and call it biblical text, but it is not true. Then in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and following, Joel is talking about in that day, in the last days, and it's talking about in the day of the tribulation. And yet we have these false prophets, false teachers, will take those texts and try to paint the picture that is taking place now, and that is simply not the case at all. In fact, in the Revelation text, it talks about that, what will take place, but it's in the days of the tribulation. In fact, in Revelation, I'm turning to it now, Revelation the 6th chapter, verse 12 and following. I'm going to read that. Revelation 6, verse 12 and following. And I beheld that he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, that there as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, that she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed like a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings and the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains, and said unto the mountains, the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For that great day, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Kenneth, and for our listeners, that's in the days of the tribulation. It's after the church has been raptured out. And many, in fact, most if not all, of the false teachers, the false prophets, that come up with some kind of date setting, they base it on the astrological things like the sun and the moon and the stars and so forth. So they look at it. I'm looking at an article that talks about what is the black moon? The black moon. In August 2025, there actually is a seasonal black moon, the third new moon in a four new moon season, falling on August 23rd, 2025. And so they're taking this time, what's supposed to be a black moon, they're taking that and saying, oh, gee whiz, Jesus Christ is coming back on that date. Kenneth, How should we Christians respond to false teachers and false prophets like that?
I tell you what, Dr. Youngblood, stop listening, because I used to listen to a hell campaign. Well, I'm not gonna say people's names, but no. I mean, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, was God incarnate for us. So if he said,
well, you mentioned Harold Camping. Harold Camping, back in 1988, I believe it was, said, well, he said that the church age had ended in 1988, 1994, 95, 96. In fact, he produced a gigantic book, 550 pages, in 1996, said that Jesus was coming back in 1996. I said then, I did two or three broadcasts in relationship to that, did two or three pulpit messages in relationship to that, saying that I know exactly when Jesus Christ is not coming back. Anytime you set a date, you can bet your boots, if you want to use that term, that Jesus Christ is not coming back on that date. There's a problem with that taking place. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, our consideration. Let me change the subject for you one moment. There's a push to set up a meat slaughtering house, Islamic slaughtering house in Jacksonville. I'm looking at headline says, plans for Jacksonville slaughterhouse withdrawn from public outcry because of public outcry. 2024, they were trying to put it in someplace on the north side of the city, a slaughterhouse for the Islamic meats. Now they're pushing it at another location. Do you think that it is advisable for our city council to approve a meat slaughtering house that's specifically designed for Islamic halal, that is, Islamic clean food, as they call it, in the middle of a residential area?
No, sir. Oh, that's crazy. That is crazy. And I believe, Dr. Youngblood, that it's one of those rockets that's going to hit the dome of the rock. And when that happens, and the third temple is built, if I'm not mistaken, the people that the, what do you call it? I call them animal people. They're gonna have a total fit. But when y'all got together, y'all was eating steaks. I was like, mm-hmm. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Well, Kenneth, one of the things we see is a great culmination of chaos, confusion, and calamity around the globe. And with what we see taking place in America, I'm thankful that God has divinely intervened and given us President Donald J. Trump. We're going to talk about that a little further in the broadcast today, what Trump is doing and his stand on some issues that I believe is honorable. But, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jim is on the line. Go ahead, Jim, with your question or comment, please.
Youngblood, how are you today?
Doing good. I hope you are.
Doing well. My opinion on individuals that are placing a date, they're doing a disservice to Christianity overall. In particular, I do recall the 90s where Harold Camping actually set more than one date. The first date came and went, and then he claimed that he had made mistakes in his calculations and set another date. So when you do that, two things happen. One is those believers that were hanging on his word and his interpretation of biblical script were disappointed and they were disappointed and they did not get the true word of God and probably walked away from Christianity. As a result of that, the second thing that it does is it allows the secular world to clasp on to the charlatans and then say, see, look, they're all charlatans. They don't know what they're talking about. This man did this or this person claimed that and it's come and went and where's your God? You know, and so it gives opportunity for those that have no belief to mock, and also for those that are trying to find Christ that may have been deceived by these individuals there to not receive the full word of Christ.
Well, it goes back not just to Harold Camping, but some might remember Reverend Moon back in the 70s and 80s. And Reverend Moon set a date. All of those following him by the hundreds of thousands in some areas of the nation gathered around, got on mountainsides, put on white robes and white sheets, waiting for the rapture to take place and for them to be lifted out. Reverend Moon was a absolute unholy, ungodly, non-spiritual guru that millions followed. Then you had Harold Camping for years. In fact, Harold Camping, our listeners may or may not know, Harold Camping set the date as to when, in all of his calculations, his base date for the calculation was October of 1958, when his family radio network first went on the air. And so all of his calculations was calculated from that date forward. He would say some dates, and he'd extrapolate forward, and he'd move back. He'd add dates and times and so forth. In fact, I scanned his book. I did not spend the $17.99 wasted money to buy the book, but I scanned his book, and it was just a numerology nightmare that he worked through to come up with the date. And people believed it, bought the books, millions of dollars. Then in 1988, a scientist from down in South Florida, NASA, Cape Canaveral, had put out a little booklet, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ is Coming Back in 1988. The little booklets sold for $2 a piece. They raked in about $4 million from that, and then Jesus didn't come back. They said, we miscalculated. They went back and recalculated, said he's coming back September of 1989. Sold another $1.5 million worth of the little booklets. And the thing, Jim, that worries me, concerns me, is simply beyond my imagination, is that Christians will believe that, embrace that, spend the money for these movies, videos, and so forth. In fact, back in 2016 and 17, when there was the major battle between some of the major preachers in this city that some know, Mark Belts, B-I-L-T-Z, Belts, David Meads, and many of those in that category, including several of the well-known radio and television preachers published and put out books and claimed that Jesus was coming back that year in September. In fact, it was, who was it? One of the major ones. I can't recall it now, but the major problem they had was looking at astrological events and things with the moon and the sun and using those. And, Jim, the major problem was not going back to chronology. All of the book of the Revelation is talking about future tense. And it starts out with chapter 4, verse 1, with the rapture of the church. All of chapter 6 through 18 talks about the days of the tribulation. So if we're going to look at that on the basis of just the moon or the sun or the color of the moon or the sun, we need to look at the balance of the text where rocks are people are climbing up and calling for the rocks to fall on them that they might hide themselves from the one that sits on the throne. And that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But Jim, one of the questions I need to ask you, because we're talking about that also, are you familiar with the push to put in the Hillel slaughterhouse in Jacksonville by the Muslims?
Yes, it's over near Beach. I think they've got a city or a council meeting on it, if I remember correctly.
I'm looking at an article that says, proposed animal slaughterhouse in a local residential neighborhood sparks outrage. People living in the South Side Estates neighborhood are frustrated about plans to build an animal slaughterhouse around the corner from their homes. The Jacksonville City Council is considering an ordinance that would rezone part of Beach Boulevard between DeSalvo Road and Cortez Road to allow for this to be constructed. Quote, if we hear groans, grown animals groaning and crying when they're dying, and it would be terrible for our neighborhood, one citizen said. So, Jim, the major problem that I see with it is recognizing that the historical fact of Islam, when they reach 2 to 6% in a city, a county, a state, or a neighborhood, they will rise up and demand to have right away and to have things approved that otherwise would not be. So I'm concerned about that. Jim, we're going to take the top of that. Yes,
may if I you'll. Hold till after?
Oh, if you would hold until after the news break, love to continue this conversation with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.